It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 167 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. I'm so glad you're listening because you're going to get to enjoy my fun conversation with Joe Keating, creator of such wonderful things as Shudder and the scripter for another great book, Tech Jacket, both of them coming from Image Comics. We talk about the wonderful things that are happening with both series, including what's going on with the characters and some other surprises in the books as well. We also discussed some other projects he's been working on, including one that he did for Marvel and another one he completed for DC. Since there's a lot to get to, let's get on with the show. I'm talking today with Joe Keating, the creator of Shudder, and also the scripter for Tech Jacket for Image Comics, and a variety of other good things. How are you doing today, Joe?
You know, I'm doing quite well, I gotta say. It's been a very productive, long day. Shudder 12 is 30 pages, so it's been a lot of work, but it's turning out pretty awesome, and that's what I've been working on.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Because when I was first talking with you about possibly in doing an interview, I had not read that yet, and you asked me if I had, because I was familiar with your Tech Jacket, which is what I really enjoyed and was talking with you about. So during the chance after that, I read up on and caught up on Shudder, up to number 9 now, and great stuff. What a great book that is. Very imaginative, very different, a lot of good variety, and that's something I love in my reading. So I want to tell you right off the bat, I love Shudder, and I'm really glad you asked me about that.
Oh, I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, do you want to talk a little bit, because people who don't know maybe what Shudder is all about, maybe you could give them like a TV guide description of what the book deals with?
Sure, TV guide. It stars Kate Christopher. She's the last explorer in a family dynasty of explorers on an Earth way more fantastic than our own. It is created by Layla Del Duca, who's the artist, and myself, along with colorist Owen Gianni. And initially we had Ed Brisson, who's actually a great writer in his own right, so to speak, lettering. But now we have John Workman, who's on board. So that's our team. And then, you know, along with the folks at Image Comics. And yeah, it's a world-spanning, at times a dimension-spanning adventure series, sort of a longer-form thing than I've done before. Everything I've been doing is, I like stories with like an end, and Shudder's got an end, in fact, which I've already written, but it's a little bit longer form than what I've done previously. So, you know, it's fun. It's good. Look, it's out every month. We're going to have a big announcement about issue 13 pretty quick here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Check it out, man. You liked it, right?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed it. Something special. Now, let me ask you something. I was reading about it, and I noticed that you took a two-month break in between, like, the first arc and the second.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that didn't affect your sales at all, because usually that's death in comics.
No, well, okay. At one point it might have been. So here's the deal. Like, what's death in comics is when you tell people, okay, we're going to be out March 11th, and then you're out July 11th or August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And when you solicit. So what we did was we had built-in breaks, and we still do, although they're going to be shorter in the future. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you've seen the book, Layla's art, Owen's colors, and John's letters, or I mean, they're all artisans of what they do. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were conscious, and I used to work in publishing, and I've seen that end of it, so I know, like, and I've had experiences with books that fall behind or whatever. So not only did we work really far ahead before we even announced the book, I think we had like five issues done when we announced it. I don't remember anymore. I also had it built in so that we had breaks, so it was never a surprise for anybody. So we've actually never missed a release day by the day. Like, we've never been late a week or at all. It comes out every single week. We solicit it for, and then we purposely say, like, on the solicit for number 6, they ended with Shudder will return December 2014. And then the solicit for number 12 said Shudder will return July 2015. So, you know, we let people know, and that, like, okay, like, they're cool with it. I think, you know, what you've seen in the past is when comics, like I said, mentioned earlier, get late. mm-hmm. and they tell people one thing and do another. That's what really kills it. But I've found, especially in this era mm-hmm. of creator-owned stuff through Image, I mean, I know there are a number of books now that which should do it. I think, I mean, Saga, which is, you know, the book's doing all right, does it. Mm-hmm. I think the Phillips Brubaker books do it. And that's actually a great example. Like, you know, the Phillips Brubaker stuff, you know, I'm a huge fan of everything, dude. In fact, The Fade Out's my favorite ongoing series right now, wow. period. But, you know, on Criminal, they're like, okay, we're going to do 6 issues and we'll be back later. Mm-hmm. And then they just did a Criminal special and that came out on time. Basically, my whole point, what I'm trying to illustrate, as long as you're honest with reader and retailer alike in terms of what you're capable of putting out and when, mm-hmm. I think it's fine. You know, and especially if it's like 6-issue bursts. I mean, if you're releasing 1 issue in July and the next issue in December or so on, that would be difficult. But we try to tell complete stories in every issue, but also over the arc of it. Mm-hmm. And 6-issue arcs, and we also do these year-long things. So anyway,
I wish other people did that.
That's why we do it.
Okay,
well, I think that's why.
I think too, if something's quality, people are willing to wait a little while to get the next issue.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say.
I think that's the case. Now, I got the burst reading. I read the trade, then mm-hmm. I went through all the issues and stuff like that. But I can mm-hmm. see how this is very addictive kind of stuff. It's very different from, you know, like as I was saying, it's something unique in, as far as like comics go. Mm-hmm. You know, when I remember one thing I really love, and I always preach on this whenever I get the chance, is about a female lead character. I mm-hmm. love that. I thought that, and she's an interesting female lead character, too. She's not sort of the stereotypical matronly, you know, there are certain ladies I know who want their female lead to act a very specific way.
Yeah.
They talk all their stuff out. They're very affectionate. They're matronly. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about Kate is that she is and has been, we see her go through various stages. And I do have to say, the very first sequence where she's on the moon with her father, mm-hmm. had me laughing like crazy.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, here's the kid, and the kid on her 7th birthday, she's going to her father, Dad, come on, the moon is boring. She's on the moon, and she finds yeah. that boring, which tells you every child wants to go off and do something else besides what their parents are doing.
Right.
It started well, and it pulled me right in, and I have been great. In there ever since, and I loved it. I had trouble stopping reading it, was what the thing was. The good thing was I knew I had all of them there, and I could read through them, and I was going like, oh, boy, now I get to read the next thing.
Oh, great.
So it's such a well-done book. And is Kate modeled after anybody that you know, or is she kind of somebody that you developed? How did Kate come to be?
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned, gosh, you know, you're such a nice host. I don't want to come down on you about this, but female lead, male lead, tell the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I, you know, and I don't think this is exactly what you're trying to talk about, but, like, mm-hmm. Kate is the right character for this book. And yeah, you're right. I don't know. Like, I don't want to get in a big rant because I think I've given this rant a number of podcasts before, but Kate's the lead. And I think I know a ton of women in my life. I have a family comprised of amazing women and amazing men. I'm very lucky in that regard. And mm-hmm. they're all different and have different personalities. I wouldn't just say one's matronly and one's not. Some excel in other things than others. Some are in the military and some are lawyers or accountants. And some of them like to drink wine and some of them like to drink bourbon. I don't like the idea of, oh, well, this is like what female characters are, you know. I just mm-hmm. and I get it. I mean, American pop culture especially has been really shitty towards women mm-hmm. and maybe that's not even something that's unique to us, but I just write what I want to read, and I want to read a comic starring Kate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but anyway, yeah, so in terms of your thing, I have this idea. I grew up loving adventure comics, and it's still something I love, and just adventure fiction in general, and thinking about what I would want to see, and just thinking of, especially when you talk about adventure fiction for children, I'm always like curious, like, well, what happens when they grow up and you kind of get out of it? And Kate kind of evolved naturally mm-hmm. from there. And as soon as I started, you know, it's like one of those things, like, where do you get your ideas from, man? I can't curse on this at all.
Yes,
I
should ask go ahead. Now.
Okay, yeah, I don't fucking know. Like, I just, it's one of those things that, you know, I read a lot of books on writing, mm-hmm. and a lot of them have a lot of good things to say, but some of them where they get into, like, oh, this is how I do it. I'm like, you're full of shit. Like, it just comes, mm-hmm. you know, I can't say there's necessarily a formula to it, but, you know, I think with anything, you kind of pour elements of people you know in yourself and, mm-hmm. obviously, as you develop the world, the character, and the story the character exists in, mm-hmm. that helps flesh out the personality. Yeah, and it's kind of complicated. It's hard to say, like, this is the one thing it came from. But it's sort of like, you know, like anything that, you know, you write about, it's a combination of experiences and just making shit up.
Okay. So, well, I have to ask you, because I was going to ask this last, but since you brought this subject up, I'm going to talk with you now.
Awesome.
I read in one of your interviews where you talked about your father and how he would do bedtime stories with you.
Oh,
and
right.
What he would do, and I just find this so fascinating because, you know, so many kids would find this terrible. You know, you're supposed to do the storytelling, but he would enlist you in the storytelling. And I just thought that was, you know, as parenting goes, that was a smart thing to do with you, because it got you started in the storytelling idea.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because, you know, that's not common. It seems like with a lot of parents do all the storytelling and the kids just kind of take it in.
Well, I highly recommend it because, like you mentioned, it really got me started doing it. It's funny, though. I was thinking about it. I think maybe even after the interview you're talking about, and I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and I realized after doing that interview, because I always viewed it like, wow, it's really cool. Dad did that. It really helped me with my storytelling. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, wait a second. He was just being lazy. He was just like, I'm sick of telling this kid he's not going to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, and I meant to call him out on that next time I see him. But, I mean, I'm internally grateful. And, you know, I think it's a combination of being lazy and wanting to have your kid interactive, because my dad is a writer as well. Previously, it was kind of a side thing for him, but now it's kind of becoming his main deal, which is cool. But anyway, yeah, so whatever the reason, it definitely was the impetus for me to start thinking in stories. I don't know, like I never had any other thing I wanted to do as a living.
Okay.
And comics for me is the medium I always connected with. I'm starting to do, and I've done some other things. I've done a video game and I've done a couple of things, but comics is the thing I connect most with. And in terms of what I like to write, and I love the collaborative effort. Like, I'm working on a novel and it's taking a lot of research and it's labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of lonely. And I realized, like, when, you know, I mean, I knew this before, but one of the things I really like about comics is you have people that to work with, you know. I highly value everyone on the Shudder team, and it's Layla has become one of the closest people to me. Mm-hmm. Owen's someone I've now worked with for years, which is crazy to think about. And getting to talk with John Workman for like 15 minutes about work and then 45 minutes about cool heavy metal stories from back in the day, you know, it's hard to beat that. It's a good gig.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I liked about Shudder is the fact that, and we talk about your father and stuff like that, mm-hmm. is that there's a lot of family involved in the Shudder story.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting because, you know, so often we want the Cosby family, you know, we want to have everybody's perfect and nobody makes mistakes and stuff. But this family couldn't be much farther away from that than they are.
Yeah.
Which, well, is good, though, because, you know, we need to see families that don't necessarily get along all the best and see how they function.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get – well, whatever. Yeah, I do. You know, the Cosby show is a bunch of bullshit, and it turns out Bill Cosby's an awful human being. You know, it's like this stuff is – that kind of thing is a – it's a falsehood, you know, and family is very complicated. You know, I feel very lucky that I was born into the family I'm born into, because there's no one who's doing heroin or extorting money from anybody. But, you know, we have conflicts, and I don't think it's necessarily – family needed to be messed up. I think one of the things I'm getting into with Shudder is how complicated it is and how it evolves as you get older. I have a friend who I consider, she's my sister. Like, there's this, I don't think, like, I kind of forget we're not blood related, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I notice that more and more as you go on. And that's a lot of what the book's about, is developing your own family in life. And yeah, I don't know, family is kind of a through line of all my stuff. Why? I don't know. Like, I'm sure if this, I talked to some psychologist, they'd be like, oh, it's because of X or Y. But I don't know, I find it really interesting. And I find it's something that you can communicate a lot of things with. I'm going to sound super pretentious because I write comics about robot guys in armor fighting whatever and just tie lions with giant guns. Mm-hmm. But I do find it an interesting thing to explore, and it's so complex, and there's so many ways to go about it, and there's so many different family structures, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. My next thing really has nothing to do with family, so okay. I guess that's
okay. You kind of worn that theme out finally, was what it may be.
I don't think so. I mean, I just think there's other things to explore. I mean, I hope I haven't worn it out, because there's a whole lot of Shudder especially left to go.
Oh, good. So, okay. Yeah. That was one question I was going to ask you, was how long is this series likely to go? And I understand that I read where you said at one point you're going to let the characters dictate that.
Yeah.
And the story go. You're talking about the fact that you have a lot of story yet to tell, so this might be a long-term relationship with this book, is what we
want. Yeah, I feel like kind of has to be, but long term, you know, in this day and age where most Marvel books and DC books, I just saw a really good DC book I enjoy, it just got canceled issue 6, you know, which is a damn shame. Mm-hmm. And a lot of really good stuff doesn't make it to 12 or 14. And this is Shudder's already the longest thing I've written, which granted, I haven't been doing this very long, and my longest run, so far is 12 issues, and Shudder's already going to be well ahead of that. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, I did a book called Glory, and when I first got picked up to do it, I was like, oh, this has to go on like 70 issues, mostly because I was just convinced that I would never get another gig. But pretty much immediately after starting it, I was like, this is like a 12-issue story. Mm-hmm. And that was a big lesson because I feel I've done a number of things that – and I've read a lot of things that I was like, I wish that kind of ended earlier or whatever. But for me, I like the idea of – everything having an ending of some sort. I don't know that I'm a guy who has like a 300 issue thing like Cerebus or Savage Dragon, or, you know, even something like Walking Dead in me necessarily. I mean, I might. We'll see. I like the idea that, you know, comics, you can change things up and explore with every new project. But what I've learned over the, I guess I've been doing this since, what, 2011 now, in terms of my full-time gig, I've really learned that I like going in for a year on a character I don't own and like kind of being done with it after that and telling the story, make my mark and moving on, you know? So how long Shudder's going to be, I don't know, because I was forcing something on a Glory initially that shouldn't have been forced on it. And when I really, and luckily quickly figured out, it was much shorter than I expected. I frankly enjoyed the work more. And so with Shudder, I do have a map of how long it'll go, but it's not so much like in terms of length, in terms of time, but more so in terms of what I want to have happen. And even then, I've already shuffled some stuff around, but I can't get into particulars because it'll totally spoil some awesome stuff.
No, no, no. Don't spoil anything. Cause that's,
don't worry.
So many people want to spoil things. No.
No, I don't. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's stuff to shuffle around, but nothing's been shortened necessarily. I was looking at, you know, I love chess. I'm not good at it, but I love it. And I'm fascinated with the system of it, and I'm fascinated with playing it, even though I'm horrible at it. And it was a point where I was looking at what the chessboard was on Shudder and realizing that I didn't really like certain things that I had positioned. So now it's nothing's been changed story-wise at all, actually. Certain things have been expedited, something has been pushed around, and I'm making different moves earlier than I was thinking and making other moves much later. So in terms of how long, I actually don't really feel comfortable saying just how long, not because I want to keep it to myself, but just because I was reading this interview with a writer who said his story was going to go 100 issues. And it went 100 issues. And when he got to issue 100, he was like, well, shit, I still have more stories to tell. I kind of wish I didn't say that. So you never know. I mean, luckily, sales on the single issues are, they're fine. But sales on the trade are crazy. Like they're doing equivalent of some of the Image's top books, which I don't understand how that works, but I am thankful. Very grateful to everyone who is picking that up. So, you know, based on those alone, we can basically decide how long we'll go. But I mean, we already got 12 issues, and I don't see the ending yet. So
good. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, you've used one word, and I would encourage this to anybody who's listening to that hasn't read Shudder. This is a book about adventure, and what drew me into comics back when I was a kid was adventure. The first thing I ever read was a Batman story in which he was in England, and he built this glider thing that he put on his back, and he glided around this castle to watch it. And
that sounds great.
And you know, Frank Miller had this as a story where he says that he opened up this Batman book and he started to read it and he fell in. And that was my experience with that. All of a sudden I was in England watching this guy go around this castle. You know,
so cool.
Yeah, it was just the most amazing thing. And it sounds like that was your experience. And it sounds like this Kate, the adventurer part of her and the interaction of family, and in the most recent issue, we won't say who, but she gets involved with a family member, and we start to see things moving forward in a different direction than I expected. And I love that. I love to be surprised. So I was, when I got to the last page, of course, it's clear that we're going to do something different next issue. And I was like, oh man, when's the next issue coming out? Which is what I'm going to ask you right now. When does issue 10 come out of Shudder?
March 11th. It's already been put to press, so we're good to go. I should have copies myself pretty soon, actually.
Oh, excellent.
But I'm really happy to hear that. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, whenever you write something, there's also inspirations that kind of go behind it. And there's a lot of things, many, many things outside of comics. And there's some in comics. And one of which is, one I didn't discover until my 20s, and I kind of wish I discovered it when I was a kid, was Captain Marvel Adventures by C.C. Beck and Otto Binder. Have you read those at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, those are fun.
Oh, those are amazing. And, like, there's nothing like them at all. Because, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam, Captain Marvel, the way he's portrayed now is radically different. I mean, there was a Monster Society of Evil in Dr. Savannah, but beyond that, there wasn't really a lot of villains, and that he wasn't really fighting anybody. It was just like weird situations, and had this sense of adventure without the violence necessarily of it. I remember there was all these issues where he'd like go, he'd like, it's Captain Marvel visiting Boston, and he'd like meet the mayor of Boston or whatever. And I remember when I was reading it for the first time, it had to be 20, 25, 26, which again, I really wish I discovered earlier. My favorite was finally finding out in the first Takitani story how he became... And he was like, oh, I just found a book, and I just started reading it, and I learned how to talk and walk upright, and I bought a suit. You know, there wasn't like this whole convoluted thing. I mean, there was later, but initially it was just like, I just found a book. And I love that sort of logic in comics where it was like, oh, it's just fine. It's just kind of normal. And that's really influenced Shudder a lot in terms of like, I was talking to someone who just read it for the first time the other day, and they were saying they liked how in the first issue there was all this crazy stuff, but everyone's like, eh. You know, and that's not what really matters in terms of it. And it's good. I was glad to hear that, 'cause it's kind of what I'm going for. We're all like this crazy stuff, which is fun to do. Like, everyone's like, why are there talking lions? And I'm like, you're going to be really disappointed if you ever expect there to be a reason for there being talking lions. There just kind of is. But anyway.
Now, I got to make a recommendation to you, since you like Captain Marvel, the Shazam, is that you may not have had a chance to read the Multiversity book.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Did you read Did you read the Captain Marvel
book? Yeah. They did a great job. I was really, like, I was really worried because I love everyone involves work. I literally love Cameron Stewart's art, and I love Graham Morrison stuff, obviously. And I was really nervous because I'm such a stickler for Captain Marvel. Like, it's got to be done a certain way. He has to be called Captain Marvel, and has to have a certain tone. I think they did a really great job with it. I was actually really happy with it. It was actually the happiest I've been with a Captain Marvel story, probably not by C.C. Beck. Unless I'm forgetting something, but probably not.
Well, it's just because a lot of people are that way. A lot of people are saying, this is what Captain Marvel was always supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It was wonderful stuff. And when I got done reading it, I was like, oh, man, that was fun. I haven't had a fun comic with Captain Marvel in a long time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So very good, very good. Well, why don't we move on to Tech Jacket? Because I want to talk a little bit about that when we get a chance. Your first issue of Tech Jacket was part of a digital miniseries, as I remember. It was three issues, and it came out digitally. Did that ever come out in print? I'm just kind
of
curious.
It did. There's a trade of it. So there's three volumes of Tech Jacket collected right now. The first volume is all the Kirkman, E.J. Sue stuff. The second volume, the first half, is Kirkman, E.J. Sue, and Aubrey Sederson. And the second half is the digital miniseries by Kari Randolph, Emilio Lopez, and Russ Wooten and me. And then the third trade, it's all Kari, me, Emilio, Russ.
Now, again, for somebody who might not have read Tech Jacket, how would you describe the series for somebody?
Tech Jacket is... I mean, when Kari and I were first talking about doing it, I was like, we were both kind of on the same page about, you know, when you're a kid or when you grow up and you remember Saturday morning cartoons. Like, I remember, for instance, with me, I used to think like Thundercats and Masters of the Universe and Transformers had like Tolkien level intricacies and whatever. And I never went back to watch them until one time I went to watch Masters of the Universe and I was like, this is a horrible program. Like, what was wrong with me as a kid? But what we wanted to do was, you know, kind of recreate that magic and basically create the Saturday morning cartoon you remember with an infinite budget because it's comics and Kari can draw anything. So that's what we're doing. And it's a pretty huge story that gets exponentially bigger as it goes along. I kind of was interested less so in doing a like a superhero thing, which is nothing wrong with superheroes. I love superheroes, but I like kind of doing a sci-fi book. But it's a sci-fi book about this community college dropout who discovers this alien suit of armor and gets entangled in this intergalactic war. Once the intergalactic war is over, it's kind of like, well, where am I supposed to go from here? So, yeah, and in our story, something bigger than he's ever encountered on quite a literal level, because it's the size of Eurasia, appears above the Earth. And he goes and investigates it and everything. I got this sounds so freaking cliche, but like everything he knows is different now, blah, blah, blah. But it's true. It's an amazing book. Just for Kari and Emilio's art alone, they do such a great job. But so it's fun to do, and it's one big story, and yeah, I've had a blast doing it.
I read an article that Image put out in which they quoted Robert Kirkman as saying that they couldn't find the time to fit Tech Jacket into their schedule, but he said things worked out because Joe Keating is a better writer than I am, he said. Does he still say that?
I hope so. I don't know. Robert's a very kind, I don't know if boss is the right term, I guess it is actually, but and friend and whatever. Luckily, publicly he's a big supporter of my stuff. You'd have to ask him. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Mm-hmm.
It must be something to, because, you know, let's face it, his name now is a big comic name. Even people who don't read comics know who Robert Kirkman is.
Oh, yeah, it's really funny. I remember I was walking with my stepmom. She goes, isn't that your friend's thing? And she pointed to a billboard of my stepmom doesn't talk like that. But anyway, she was like, isn't that your friend's thing? And it was a billboard for Walking Dead. And I was like, how do you even know that? Like, it is insane. I mean, it is huge now, right? Like, because she's my barometer of how much comics actually gets into the public consciousness, because she knows about it, and it's like, it's a huge deal, and yes, she knows all about it. Which is, it's, you know, it's awesome. You know, that kind of success couldn't have happened to a better guy. And he's worked his ass off, too. It's funny, because nowadays you hear people like, oh, you know, Walking Dead just was a mega hit. It's like, yeah. It launched at 7,000, and everyone on that book worked their asses off. Mm-hmm. And the TV show didn't come until, like, years and years later. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Well, I know folks who run comic stores, and they always say that when The Walking Dead comes on, the thing that sells dramatically well all of a sudden when the show comes on is the first trade of Walking Dead. People rush in to get that first trade, and they may not necessarily buy them all, but they will buy that one so they can have some idea how the comic started out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the one thing I like about Tech Jacket as compared to Invincible is there are some similarities, and I was a little worried that it was going to go along the same lines that Invincible does, because, you know, you've got a young adult male, and you've got extra normal stuff happening and family and all this other stuff's involved. And so I was kind of worried that it was going to be another Invincible, but I really have to say you've done a really good job of going in a very different direction, so that it doesn't make me think of Invincible at all when I read Tech Jacket, which I like. I think it's a great book.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I do love Invincible, I have to say. I think the work that Ryan and Robert are doing on that book is astounding. But yeah, that means a lot. I think part of it is, until recently, Invincible was what they say on the cover of Invincible. It's like the greatest superhero comic, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever it says, which it's up there for me. And with Tech Jacket, I definitely want to really push the sci-fi angle way more. And, you know, he has a very different dynamic than Invincible. No one really knows who he is. You know, his family dynamic is completely different. Mm-hmm. And just what kind of things he deals with. You know, he's a space guardian is what he calls himself. He's not stopping bank robberies or whatever. He's stopping stuff from invading the Earth. So, yeah, it's a very, and I'm happy to hear that. It means a lot.
Well, I'm not saying anything bad about Invincible when I'm saying that.
I get it.
We don't need two Invincibles. You know, we've got a good Invincible.
Sure.
We don't need,
I agree with you.
Exactly two of those. But you guys have a subtitle on your book, too, don't you? What's the subtitle on your book?
I think, is it still the second greatest?
Second greatest. That makes me smile when I read that, because, you know, because we're alluding towards the Invincible.
No, I think like that's when the first time, because I didn't do that initially. And the first time I saw that, I was dying. I thought it was the funniest. It was just the funniest idea.
Great. It's a fun book. It's a good thing. You're right. The family dynamic is very different. I like the fact that he doesn't view what he's doing in the same way Invincible does. You know, there are very different perspectives, and I'm saying this because I'm hoping people will, if you haven't picked up Tech Jacket, that you will, because you'll say, I already read Invincible, I don't need to read that. Well, it's not Invincible as good as that is. This is a very different book, and it's a lot of fun to read. I love science fiction. I love spacefaring stuff. So for me, I really enjoy all this stuff. It really resonates with me when I see all these great things, and the aliens and all crazy things that are happening to him. I like that quite a bit, because, you know, you have to wonder yourself, what would you do in a situation like that?
Yeah.
And I always look at Zach Thompson and think, like, man, you know, he's doing this much better than I ever would. To be honest.
Yeah. One of the things I really like exploring with him is the fact that he is completely over his head. He's not trained. He doesn't have any government backing. I mean, he collects bounties and stuff like that on aliens. But besides that, he really has no idea what he's doing. But he keeps pushing himself beyond the absolute limit. I mean, he nearly pretty much kills himself multiple times throughout the series. So, yeah, he's a fun guy to write.
Yeah, it's a great book. Now, where are we as far as Tech Jacket goes? When is the next issue coming out?
You know, since it's a Skybound book and a creation of Kirkman, they kind of handle that stuff more than I do on Shudder. I'm not sure, but I know we just put issue, I want to say 10 to press recently.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. Sometime in March.
Sometime in March. Okay, so it'll be coming out. And, you know, when it comes to comics and stuff like that, you can't always be 100% certain. Even if you knew that exactly date, it might not be exactly right.
Right.
But it's such a good book, and I really highly recommend it. Both Shudder and Tech Jacket really have me hooked.
And that's awesome.
I'm enjoying them tremendously, and I'm going back and finding your other stuff. And I was looking through the things that you had written, and some of the things entertain me. I've got to ask you about you did a What If?
Yeah.
With Age of Ultron. And, of course, with the new Avengers movie coming out with Ultron in that, people might go back and give that another look at that story. Is there any kind of, in far as What If goes, it's total fiction in a fictional universe.
Right.
Yeah. How is that going to impact? Does that have anything to do with like what you're hearing the movie might be about?
I have no clue. I don't know what's going on with the movie. I've got nothing to do with that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, much to a lot of people's chagrin, or at least a decent amount of people's chagrin, my What If had very little to do with it. My thing was, there was this concept that they had in Age of Ultron that I didn't really see too explored, although it seems like they're going too much into it now with Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the time stream was kind of broken, and there were all these alternate realities that were dying. And so my pitch that they liked was exploring those little different alternate realities. And so in a way, I kind of wanted to create a What If that actually existed. And so basically, in Age of Ultron, we see what happens if Hank Pym dies. And so in mine, you see what if Wasp was taken before her time, or what if Ultron was never created in the first place, what the world would bring. So in a sense, I was trying to be a little cheeky and create a what if that actually still existed, because there's this pocket universe concept in there. And I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I've never had any idea what's going on with the movies. I know I am excited. I think it's going to be great, but I have no idea. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, maybe they'll reprint all these Age of Ultron things as we get closer to the movie, and your stuff will be in there, and people can read that as well as all the other Age of Ultron stuff. So
yeah. I mean, I think the Marvel thing I'm mind to pick up with is the Marvel Knights Hulk. It's me and Piet Klauski, who's a longtime friend, but he also draws a book, Sex at Image. And it was awesome. It's because it was, to read. It's not for me to judge. But, 4 issues of just the Hulk doing awesome stuff. And they were just like, just do whatever you want. And we're like, all right. And cool. It was a lot of fun. And, good times. Marvel was a lot of fun to work with.
Good. Well, you never know. Marvel being what they are, you might get the chance to do that again.
Well, yeah. They were great to work with, but when I started working on Shudder, I realized that at least for the foreseeable future, I was looking to do my own stuff with collaborators that we create together and that we do together. Someday I might go back to Marvel and do something else. We'll see. I mean, they're great people there. I really like working with them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. But just in terms of where my head's at these days, I really like, or something like Tech Jacket was interesting because I get to work with the creators of it and people who conceived it initially. It's kind of like getting to work with Steve Ditko if you work on Spider-Man Jack Kirby on FF, which is obviously a very rare opportunity. That's the kind of thing I guess I'm going for these days, is I like the idea of everything I'm doing being kind of different from the other, whether it's creator-owned or not. And as long as the opportunity is different from the last one, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to do, whether it's an Image or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did something, just to be fair, to DC Comics that I really like. Was Adventures of Superman number 16?
Oh, yeah.
That had to do with Commandy.
That was actually kind of the thing, was I wrote the Superman story that was everything I ever wanted to do with Superman in 30 pages or whatever it was. And I was like, I think I'm going to take a break now from Marvel DC stuff, just because it's like, I've got to do the Hulk, which is a favorite character of mine. And then Marvel was great about that, and DC was great about the Superman thing. And I was like, you can't really top that, dude. It's pretty good, at least in terms of what I was interested in doing. But, it was a lot of fun. I got to writing Commandy and Superman with a lion head and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it was fun. And the editor hooked me up with all these amazing collaborators like Ming Doyle and Brett Schoonover, Jason Sean Alexander, David Williams, Al Gordon. I mean, a ton of amazing people. Tula Tay. I could go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Well, great stuff. I see your name, I always like to pick up the book now, because I want to be able to read a good story, and a good story is what matters to me. And I love the art and all that stuff, but when it all meshes together in this great story, then that's why I'm there. Great stuff. Now, as far as things go that are coming up, is there other stuff that we should know about besides Tech Jacket and Shudder that you're working on?
Not that I can talk about.
Okay, well, one of these days I'm going to stop asking that question, because that's reason. I can't talk about that is usually the answer. And that's fine. That's good. That means that you've got things percolating in there, and that's something that we want to hear.
I mean, I was kind of wanting to give the spotlight on Shudder and Tech Jacket as well for a while. But I'm going to have a couple announcements pretty soon, I think. At least sometime this year. I don't know.
Okay.
It's not really up to me. It's up to the publishers. But
now, if we want to follow you and keep on your announcements, do you have a website that we can go to?
Yeah, it's just joekeating.com, joekeating.com. Everyone forgets the E at the end of my name, but it's fine. I mean, if you just Google Joe Keating Shudder, even if you spell it wrong, something should come up, I guess. And then, so I'm just on Tumblr. Well, I'm on my website, my Tumblr are interconnected, and I have Twitter. which is just Joe Keating. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. Yeah, those are kind of my two things, joekeating.com and twitter.com/joekeating.
Okay. We'll keep our ear to the ground there and make sure that we follow the good stuff that you're doing. And maybe we'll get a chance to talk with you again when you got other projects coming down that we can talk about.
Wayne, this was a lot of fun. I'd love to do it.
Oh, great. Well, much success and keep up the great work, man. And we'll keep reading your stuff. So keep it up.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this week. Be sure to be back next time when I'll have another great interview with yet another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.